Are you glad you're here?
Hey, that was a pretty good response.
I'm glad you're here too. Well, we are nearing the end of the book of Galatians and making our way through the study of this book, this wonderful book, encouraging us to be faithful to God, walking in His ways, not getting trapped in the things of this world, but to live honorably for Jesus Christ. I think most of you are familiar, I've used the illustrations before, but gardening has been one of my favorite activities, pastimes. It's through my whole life. I was raised out in the country, up in Idaho, and we always had a garden, and we always worked the thing. Some days you were wondering, do I have to go out there, work and pull weeds and do all that, but you know, we enjoyed the benefits of all kinds of vegetables and fruit. As you know, though, gardening requires a lot of dedication and a lot of hard work. You got to fertilize it, you got to till it, plant it, water it, prune it, cultivate it, harvest it, and then what do you do with the stuff you just harvested? You got to make sure you're either getting it ready to eat immediately, or you have to prepare it to freeze it, can it, dry it, or do something, or sell it to neighbors. What kept us doing all this work? Well, the reward, the final reward. And juicy strawberries, fresh tomatoes, black cap jelly. Any of you ever have black cap jelly? Yeah, they're a type of black raspberries, but a little bit different. They're beautiful, wonderful. I'm going to slobber all over my notes here. Anyway, corn on the cob. I grew up, you got to have corn on the cob. And if you're missing teeth, I'm sorry for you. But, you know, God's law of the harvest is still completely in force today from the very beginning, even through today in the creation. As Christians, what should our favorite activity be? Our favorite activity should be living for Jesus as we live in this world. Living for Jesus should be our number one focus as we press on. Walking in Jesus' love. We just sang a song, I Will Build My Life on Jesus, learning to love those around us. But as all of you know very well, it's quite difficult to live for Jesus constantly, continually, always being honoring to Jesus in a pagan world, in a world that is telling us to do everything but live for Jesus. There's temptations and evil and corruption that constantly surround us. We watch it, we hear it, we see it, we live amongst it. What will keep us living for Jesus? The reward. The reward. There is an eternal reward. God's law of the harvest continues to be fulfilled in power and promise in our spiritual life, as well as in the physical world we live in. Christians, brothers and sisters, we are called to the great task as summarized in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to be looking in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 tells us, let us not lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Doing good includes the greatest assignment, which is to spread the message of Jesus, the good news that Jesus gives everlasting life to those who will walk with Him and follow Him. And we must do that to every person in this world that we have opportunity to, those that surround us, sending things around the world so that others can have the opportunity to hear the story of Jesus as well. The fact that Jesus paid for how much sin? All sin. Every sin. Of the worst person to those that we consider the sweetest, nicest, kindest. They all have sin. Everybody has sin. And Jesus paid it all. And we owe Him everything. He wants everyone to have this eternal life. And God uses believers to fulfill this law of the harvest. Is God going to use your neighbors who don't believe in Jesus to spread the message of Jesus? No, it's up to us. It's up to believers of Jesus to pass on the message to fulfill the law of the harvest in the souls of all humanity. Satan is working overtime to force each of us to quit, to throw in the towel. But don't quit. Don't stop serving Jesus who went the distance for you. We must go the distance our entire life living for Jesus. Remember the reward. Now, some of you are counting the cost of being 100% a Christian, living with total sacrifice. You may be asking yourself, is it worth all the hassle, all the challenge of living, of being a testimony for Jesus? Remember the reward. In the midst of whatever trial you run into, whether it's a threat of employment, whether it's a threat of spending time in the Word, whatever the cost is, remember the reward. Be faithful to Jesus. The words of Jesus in Revelation 2:10, the last part of that verse, is be faithful until what point? You get tired? No, until death. Even if it costs your life, and Jesus will give you the crown of life. He's promised us that. And it's not life for just a short time, not life with arthritis. How many have arthritis? You don't have to raise your arm too high. Just maybe a pinky. But, you know, aches and pains, frustrations, twisted back. Brother Bob has hurt his back this last week, and so keep Brother Bob in your prayers. You know, all of us are having challenges in this world, sickness, long-term ailments, disease that are affecting us. Every one of us have those issues, and we need to keep our faith and trust even to the end. Today's text discusses some of the aspects of the law of the harvest. So let's prepare our hearts and minds as we read this text, and then we'll take time to pray. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Read along with me. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your blessings and your goodness. You're being faithful to us through the ages, preparing for us every single day, every situation. Your presence is constant. You are faithful and true, and you are going beyond that. You're preparing an eternal home that will last for eternity. You're preparing eternal bodies for us. Thank you. And you are preparing us for each day. Help us to trust in you. Walk with our hand in yours, pressing forward through every day that you give us life and breath. Father, as we continue, consider the thoughts shared with us in this short text, help us to analyze our lives, to determine to fulfill your work, to fulfill the need that surrounds us. Help us to encourage one another and uplift one another, to help each other in this work, in the law of the harvest, in the field of souls that surrounds us. Thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we go through life and we wonder, is this worth it? Back in Missouri, down in New Mexico, we would throw our scraps out and have a little compost pile. How many of you? I won't ask you. Anyway, we would have volunteer stuff come up accidentally once in a while, and sometimes down in Alamogordo, as well back in Missouri, I saved a few peach trees, some apricot trees. And as a result, we had fruit trees. But you know what? It takes a while for us to get a crop from a tree. If you've raised a tree from the sprout, it takes about 7 years before you get your fruit. Sometimes 5 years. 6 years, but usually before the tree is really productive is about 7 years. Well, I was actually counting on a couple of trees back in Missouri, and they weren't producing. And then when they started to produce, the peaches weren't quite right. They were a little bit wild, just like the original ancestors, I guess you might say. And so they came to a point after years of waiting that their life ended. Everybody hold your head in respect. And, okay. But for those trees that did produce and they were had good fruit, you know, it was always a blessing, always fantastic to go out and pick fresh peaches and have them available. If the squirrel didn't get them first. We did have a squirrel competition going on with our fruit. Anyway, God has promised us if we are faithful and patient, there is a wonderful harvest coming, a wonderful result coming. Looking at our lesson, we see here the very first point I want to bring out is you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. One summer while living in Lordsburg, I planted squash, some yellow squash, and some zucchini. I put several seeds in the ground, but I only had four that sprouted. And I thought, man, this is going to be sad. You know, will I get any squash? Oh, my goodness, they went hog wild. That's a farmer's term. They went crazy. And grew and grew and blossomed, and I fed the whole congregation with squash that whole summer. They were so sick of seeing me come up. Would you like some squash? No, thank you. We've got enough. We had more squash than we knew what to do with four little plants. And, you know, God says that there will be harvests. And sometimes it may look like it's not going to do much, but God will provide as He sees fit. Seed produces after its kind. Reaping what you sow is a common knowledge for most people. If you go out into a field and you plant wheat seed, what do you expect to get back? You expect to get wheat back. If you plant corn, you expect to get corn. If you plant daisies, kind of a waste of farmland in my opinion, but it's okay around the house, you're going to get what? Daisies. Petunias, etc. The Genesis principle still works. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing after their kind, with seed in them on the earth. And it was so, and it is still so. Plants produce after themselves. Now, there are people who are messing with genetics. And I've seen trees that have five different types of fruit on it or, you know, all these different crazy things that people do to plants. But Genesis 1 still works, and it always will. God ordained it. God commanded it. The same is true for animals, birds, fish, bacteria, viruses, etc. Genesis genetics still works because God made it that way. Computer programming is governed by a form of the law of the harvest. Now, those of you who've worked on the computer, have you ever tried to get an answer and realized that, boy, there's something wrong with that answer. There's something wrong with what's coming out of that. And if you go back and look, you realize if you don't put the right information in, you're not going to get the right information out of the computer. It came up with a phrase years ago, garbage in, garbage out. So in the computers, they're going to give you exactly what you plant in the computer. And if you don't plant the good stuff, you're not going to get anything good back out of it. Mathematics is the same. It follows a form of the rule of the law of the harvest. Jesus alludes to this. The negative aspects of that principle, when he told us the parable of the seed and the tares in Matthew chapter 13, where the good seed was planted and then the enemy, Satan, came in and planted the tares afterwards. the field produced what was put in it. And unfortunately, in that case, in the illustration, there are people in this world who are planting evil, and the result of it is what? There's going to be evil in the midst of what is good. Verse 6 tells us that appreciation should be flowing from every believer. Do we have appreciation flowing out of us? There the illustration is that teachers of the gospel will see evidence of God's word transforming power in the lives of the believing students. And then as those students grow in Christ, thanksgiving and appreciation should be multiplying in their life. Are we students of the Word? If so, are we growing in appreciation and thanksgiving? When you are blessed, you are commanded by Scripture to share the blessings with the one who helped you to receive it. That's a command of God. And so every one of us has been helped by somebody, haven't we? Have we expressed thanks and appreciation to those individuals? A sincere thank you is always appreciated. Now, most of us are pretty good about detecting when somebody's really not honest and sincere about saying thanks. But if we are people of God, we should truly be sincerely thankful and express it truly from our heart. There's many a teacher who has quit feeling useless because they have not been shown any appreciation. Look around this room. Who have you failed to express thanks to recently? Is there something that somebody has done for you? And people that are not in this room, who have you not shown appreciation to? God wants us to be a people showing appreciation, sincere appreciation from our hearts, because we love God and we love the people of God and the people who haven't accepted God yet. We must be sincere and be showing it. Do something with your life. Grow in goodness. Grow in positive thankfulness, appreciation, truth, and goodness. Let's be a thanksgiving people not just once a year, but 365 days a year. Here we have Thanksgiving coming upon us, and we're all supposed to get together for what purpose? The original was to express thanks to who? To God. Not to your favorite football team, not to your favorite sports, not to your favorite family member, but to express thanks to God for what He has done. And so this should be going on every single day of our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, rejoice how often? Always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God wants us to be this type of people. I think it'd be wise for us to do that, wouldn't it? If God is truly living in our hearts. Let's work on that and continue to grow and improve on this. Worldly focus has no long-term benefit. Now, if I step on some of your toes, I'm sorry. Not really. What gain does the world provide? As athletes, we gain dust catchers to sit on a shelf that will eventually end up in the scrap heap. And we also get arthritis at an early age. Outdoor enthusiasts spend a small fortune on equipment, extra gear, and trophies that also become what? Dust catchers hanging on the wall, sitting on the shelf. Housekeepers, you fret over uncleaned areas for the white-gloved inspections that will never come. Mechanics collect extra parts and vehicles that will rust and deteriorate into scrap metal. All earthly hobbies and interests. Okay, I'll throw mine in. Carpenters, little crafty guys, all that scrap wood that you're collecting will end up rotten, dry rot, weathered, and useless in time. It won't last for eternity. Every earthly hobby and interest that we have is headed for destruction, but godly service endures. Like the story of Dorcas, recorded in Acts chapter 9. How did the people remember her? She was busy making things for other people, looking out for others. And when she passed away, the whole town was bringing their items of remembrance, their gifts of love from Dorcas to show, look what she did for me. Look what she did for me. Devote yourself to eternal matters of showing God's love to the people around us. We will reap what we sow. If we're not ministering to the people around us, there will not be a reward. Achieving a harvest requires devotion. Farmers don't just throw a bag of seed out in the middle of the field and walk away and expect to get a crop. Devoted attention must be given to details, including ground preparation. How close do you plant the seeds? How deep do you plant the seed? What temperature should the soil be before you even plant? How much moisture needs to be in the ground before you plant and as the plant grows? When you plan to harvest your crop? All these things and a whole lot more have to be determined by the farmer if he wants a good crop. Jesus promises victory over death and eternal life to those who obey him, to those who walk in his truth, those who walk in his life. Now, Jesus lived a perfect life by divine standards. Amen? And then he paid for our sin with his life. The grave to the believer is toothless. The grave has no effect on us, so we do not need to fear death. Now, in our country, America, we have been blessed abundantly with freedom to worship and to express our opinions. A lot of people in the world don't have these freedoms, and they are paying with it with their life. But even at that, the grave is toothless against them, because what do they have? They have eternal life. They've got to go into the presence of God before us. Now, we need to be faithful and true to Jesus, not fearing the outcome of our witness. We must obey all of the commands of Jesus. Jesus emphasized it several times in the book of John. We have recorded about 3-4 times, John 14, 15, verse 21, and so on. We must make a well-determined decision to obey Jesus. It has to be our decision, our commitment to serve Jesus. Nobody else can make that decision. Nobody can force us to believe in Jesus. It has to be our decision. In that belief, you must believe that Jesus can save you. You need to repent from every sin. You need to turn away from anything and everything that would hinder your witness of being a servant of God, to learn to live God's way, not in the world. You need to be a person who is confessing your sins, admitting your faults, admitting your failures to God. God is gracious to forgive us if we admit our failures. And if, as believers, we are warned, the Apostle John warned us in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, the end of the chapter says, if we say that we have no sin, we are calling God a liar. We have sin, even as believers, that we have to deal with. But God will forgive us if we admit our faults, our failures, our weaknesses, and seek the help that he will give to overcome them. We must be buried in the waters of baptism, immersed into Christ. This is Christ's command. It's not an invention of people or churches. Well, there are some churches that create their own form of baptism. But Jesus commanded us when we believe and repent and trust in him that we are baptized into him and raised in brand new life that he gives to us. God cleanses us from within. It's not what we or the preacher or your friend or whoever baptizes you does. It's what God does for you in your spiritual life. And then we must live for Jesus every day, telling others about him, confessing him before others, telling people what good God is doing. This day is the day that who has made? the Lord has made. And everything around us that we possess is from who? The Lord, from God. And we need to remind the people around us. It's not from the government. It's not from our own achievement. It's not from an accident. It's an intentional gift from God. We are given things to be caretakers of for the few years that we are here. Faithful living includes learning more of the Bible, of God's Word. Now, our governor wants us not to meet. But in this time, I would encourage you to set out some more time, carve out some more time to be students of God's Word. Saying thank you to those who help you. It's specifically commanded here in this passage. Are we a people who say thank you and show appreciation in every situation? We need to be encouragers of one another. That's why it's so important that we gather together. This is commanded in the book of Hebrews that we gather. This is why we're still keeping the doors open Sunday morning. For those who can get together, that we gather together to encourage one another and remind each other of the blessings of God. Intentionally doing good to others and certainly to fellow church members is stated here. Verse 10, so then while you have opportunity, do you have opportunity? Let us do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. What good things have you done for the people around you? Look around. Go ahead, look. I won't tell. Who can you do something nice for? In the name of Jesus, do good things. God is watching. He's keeping track. There's a warning in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 to one of the churches, Church of Ephesus. He says, Jesus says, to not lose our first love. Don't lose your first love. Let the love of God continue to grow and strengthen and grow and multiply and just explode into the lives of other people, showing that you are a servant of God through Jesus Christ. Strengthen your friendships, checking up on the people that we haven't seen for a while. Develop new relationships. And Sally and I are kind of going through that right now, trying to learn who everybody is. Hiding behind their different masks. You keep changing masks and we don't recognize the new mask. We are called to bond together in Jesus. So let's all stay devoted to Christ in achieving His harvest, especially in the family. Third point, remember God's plan when your heart grows weary. Remember God's plan when your heart grows weary. That has a little rhyme to it. Say it with me. Remember God's plan when your heart grows weary. Remember God's plan when your heart grows weary. Remember the reward in spite of the cost. Jesus is with you always. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God is providing for you. God's angels are protecting you. No demon or power of darkness, not even Satan himself, can harm you when you are in Christ. God gives you His wisdom. You are God's ambassador to the world. You are the light of the world. You are the redeemed, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. You are the inspiration to others looking for salvation. You are a soul winner. You have a home prepared for you in heaven. But before you leave, you can help stop the corruption. You can help influence our society. You can help influence and change individuals from sinners to saints in your neighborhoods, in the schools, in businesses, in governments. God has empowered you to be His people. Let's be His people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, we have some words of encouragement. Let's turn over there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. I've referred to this earlier. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some is, but encourage one another, And all the more as you see the day drawing near. As God's people, what are we doing to stimulate each other to love and good deeds? Your fellow church members, this is a command to each and every one of us. Are you stimulating somebody? What is it that stimulates you? My sister and I used to sit in our house as children, and we would take a thread and we would see who could not flinch as we pulled that string between the toes, tickling each other's feet, stimulating the senses. We would have contests, killing time. We didn't have much TV. We didn't have any videos, no DVDs in those days, no computers. So we did strange things. I'm sorry. I have washed my hands since then, once or twice. But we would find things to stimulate each other as children. What are we doing as believers to stimulate each other to love and good deeds? Let God lead you. Let God motivate you, empower you, and stimulate your mind to stimulate somebody else. We've got to guard against skipping out on opportunities to meet together. Now, our governor is making it pretty difficult for us, but we've got to watch for those opportunities to meet together and encourage one another and stimulate each other. In spite of the pandemic, your spiritual life is of utmost importance. If you are weak in some way, you've got to get spiritual help. Don't worry about the physical. God is taking care of you. I'm a renegade. I'm opposed, but I will move along. But if your spiritual life is in jeopardy, that's first importance. If you find yourself tempted in some way, don't continue down that path. Get with one of us. Get with a believer. You've got to keep your spiritual life strong. Satan is doing all he can. He's doing all he can to trick us, to fool us, to lure us, to cause us to go to sleep spiritually, to neglect God's work. We're in a spiritual battle. If you don't believe it, you haven't been reading your scriptures, your eyes are closed. There's a spiritual battle in all of this mess. So please, strengthen your spiritual life. You are examples of righteousness to the world in this region, to the people that you see every day. If you were put on trial for your faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Boldly and tirelessly work in God's field, seeking the lost, sharing Jesus, giving hope to people around you, doing good deeds. In the name of Christ, say thank you and love the people around you. As you go into your daily life, watch for the opportunities. Listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say and do the things that would honor your Redeemer. Intentionally plant spiritual seed in Jesus' name. Be farmers for Jesus and watch His plan of the harvest be fulfilled. Now, Operation Christmas Child is just one of the many ways of sharing Jesus. We have other missionaries that we support on a regular basis. I was always curious about the flags, and Yvonne explained to me the flags represent the different countries that our missionaries have been in. Oh, that makes sense. We need to have those reminders. I would encourage you to put up little things on your refrigerator, on your mirror, or someplace to remind you about what God wants us to be doing, what God wants us to have our focus on. Find more ways to use your God-given talents to honor God and to love people. If you need help obeying some of the commands, don't hesitate. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to myself. We'd be glad to visit with you and help you to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Let's work together in the name of Jesus and glorify Him so that there will be a mighty harvest of souls, so that the law of the harvest will be fulfilled in abundance as people come to meet Jesus and surrender to Him and serve Him in joy. The joy of the Lord will truly be our strength. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us every moment, every day, every year, throughout our entire life, and in eternity itself. You knew of us before we were born, before creation. You are preparing an eternal home for us. Your goodness abounds. Everything we possess is by your blessing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help us to be a thankful people and appreciate thanks to the people around us. I thank you for those who are here today. I thank you for those who will be listening later on. Let them be blessed. Let us all glorify you in this confused world. And help us to share Jesus and His hope, His plan, with everybody we have opportunity to do so. Be with us as we prepare to go from here to serve you more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.